as God raised up first, this is Acts chapter 3, the last verse. You know, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Jesus Christ has come, not merely to be the forgiveness of sins, but to save us from our sins. Which, according to him, means this. Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abides not in the house forever. The servant of sin will not inherit eternal life. The interpretation. And he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free from your sins, then you shall be free indeed. Today, people have substituted something else for the salvation from sins, a theoretical salvation, a figurative salvation, a salvation by which we are only declared righteous, yet we are still sinners at the same time. We are sinners and saints. And I tell you, my brethren, that bitter and sweet water cannot flow out of the same fountain. And if they do, all that comes out is bitter. You know, that's the way it is with evil. Evil corrupts that which is good. Even a little bit will corrupt. And no matter, you know, and you can pour pureness onto corruption. But all it does is corruption corrupts that which is pure. Jesus Christ came to turn us from our sins, to save us from our sin, that we should not sin, that we should henceforth no longer serve sin, that we should serve him. And what does it mean to serve sin? They say, well, to do it habitually and continually, I suppose. But Jesus said, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. That was Jesus' definition. Now, men can make up their own definitions, but I'm going by the definition that Jesus Christ gave. And the scripture that I'm citing when I say he that commits sin is the servant of sin is from John chapter 8 in the Gospel of John. And I rely on that quite a bit because Jesus defines things very clearly. Just go ahead and read that chapter if you want to find that verse. So the angel had come to Joseph and said, do not fear. Mary, you know, take her to be your wife. That which is conceived with her is of the Holy Ghost. So he woke up and he did as the angel had told him. He married Mary, and made Christ legitimate in the earth. Because if Mary were to just show up pregnant without a husband, they would assume it was because of wickedness and sin. But God persuaded Joseph. And one could say, well, why not just make everybody know? Right? Why not let everybody know? People find fault in the Gospels. They find fault with verse 23, a virgin shall be with child, right? And all that, because they look to find it. And they don't understand God's motivation at all. If you really want to understand the Christian God, and you're starting with Matthew with me, you might check out some of my studies in the New Testament. God is not trying to persuade you. He's trying to persuade those he has chosen. He's trying to call certain. You see in the Gospels, Jesus draws clear distinctions, and we will see it, between those whom he's calling and those who he is not. To those he is sent to and to those he is not. And if God wants you to believe in him, he's going to put in you a heart to believe. He's going to inspire in you some desire, something to cause you to see it. But if he does not want you, if he rejects you, he will harden your heart and turn you away from the truth, because none of us are worthy of eternal life. And it is only by his grace that we even have a chance. So, you know, sneering skeptics, I hope I drive you away immediately. Because really, if you're that sneering, you really have no place. If you're willing to listen, well, I'll try to give you the best explanation I can. Verse 23 is oftentimes cited as I don't know what kind of example they think it is. It's quoted from Isaiah 7, right? And they say, well, the Hebrew word for virgin doesn't mean technically a virgin. It just means a young girl. Well, Mary was a young girl. Well, they say, well, then the New Testament word here for virgin means a technical virgin. Well, not every virgin is a young girl. And not necessarily every young girl is a virgin. But one may reasonably presume that a young girl, especially in those days, was a virgin. And not only that, It's not so much her virginity in the Old Testament that's important. In the Old Testament, there was a young maid who was going to... You know, remember, there's two interpretations of the prophecy in Isaiah. There was a near interpretation for the time of Isaiah. There was a young woman who did become pregnant, and she called the child Emmanuel, because God is with us. If Isaiah were to say a technical virgin were to conceive, they would have saw him as a false prophet, because it wasn't going to happen in his lifetime. There was a near fulfillment of a virgin shall conceive. There was a young woman who actually did conceive. But that was a shadow of what was to come. That was a shadow of what was coming in Christ, where a real virgin, a technical virgin, would actually conceive. And was that specifically prophesied of? Well, not by the specific language of it, no. But it is not a departure from the spirit of it either. Because the idea is, the most remarkable part is not that a virgin conceived. Because with our science, we can do that today. We can make a virgin conceive. In vitro fertilization, we could do it. We could have a virgin birth. It would not be beyond the abilities of science. So it's not that big of a miracle, really. A virgin conceiving, no big deal. At that time, it was impossible. It is possible today. So it's nothing miraculous to us at all. What is a miracle is that a human being would conceive a child that would be God, that had been from heaven, descended down as a human being. You know, there's another verse I think is much more telling. And from chapter 9, where it talks, "For unto us a child is born." This is chapter 9 of Isaiah, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And you have to understand that the passage in Isaiah 7 was considered to be messianic by the Jews who lived in Jesus' time. Despite the dispute over the idea of what the virgin meant, it was considered to be messianic. And so was this verse in Isaiah 9. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Wonderful Counselor, "the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Jesus Christ was that child that was born, who was God, and who was also known as